ॐ ज्ञानतिमदन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Welcome to everybody who is joined to pour nectar into their ears. This is a highly recommended process to go on hearing, no matter what else is happening in one's life, just go on hearing transcendental sound vibration. And by that process, just as when you have a jar full of ink and you keep pouring pure milk into it, gradually all the ink will come out and all that will be left is pure milk. So in a similar way, the Bhagavatam and all the other authorized scriptures of the world say that the process of hearing about Krishna is so auspicious, punya shravana kirtana, that just by going on hearing, you'll develop the spiritual tendencies. Somehow it goes in the ear. It's some magic that happens. It goes in the ear and into the heart. Satam prasangam mama virya sambido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata taj joshanat ashwapavargavartmani shradha ratir bhaktir anukramishrati. Step by step, you'll advance in devotional service just by hearing. And we read last night that if you can't do anything else in your life except for maintain your body somehow or other and then drag yourself in front of transcendental sound and keep hearing, then your life will be a success. So welcome to all you very intelligent devotees from all over the world who are joining on the telephone and on the live broadcast through Facebook. Om Jnanatimarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Paran Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Cha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Amala Purana Prabhu, joining us from Denver. My best to all the devotees there. So tonight, special readings continue about the glories of Lord Ramachandra and understanding his relationships with his devotees and his particular station in the spiritual world where he interacts with his devotees. We're going to hear a few sections tonight. And the first one is in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, rather, Madhya Lila 15. It's in the chapter Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya Offers Prasadam. And Actually, it's starting at text number 109. 9. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Check that. Madhya Lila 15, text number 136. And again, I'm picking excerpts that have to do with Lord Ramachandra and his relationships with his devotees. One point I'd like to make before I start about his relationships with his devotees, the Municharis, there were great sages in the forest of Dandakaranya, and they were there doing their worship and puja every day, and when Lord Ramachandra made his advent, they saw him and they became so attracted, they wanted to have a conjugal relationship with him. But in this manifestation, Ramachandra only has one wife, and Maryada is his mood, a very dutiful, follows all the rules and regulations. So he blessed those sages that they would be able to take birth in Krishna Lila and become gopis. So we hear in the 10th canto about many of these sages who became gopis. In fact, there are many different categories of gopis that are mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentaries in the 10th canto, brought out through the purports of the servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we can see from their intense desire, they pleased the Lord, who then gave them facility. Any devotee who develops a desire to serve the Lord in any particular way will be noticed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ye yata mam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. Mamavart maravartante manusha parta sarvashaha. That is that he reciprocates exactly in the way that the devotee treats him. And however a person approaches him, he will reciprocate. So I'm starting off Madhya Lila 15, text 136. Sarvabhoma kar daru brahma arhatana. Vachasvati kar jal brahmera sevana. Sarvabhoma bhattacharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking. Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya, you should engage in the worship of Lord Jagannath, Purushottam, and Vachaspati should worship Mother Ganges. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Murari Gupta and began to speak about his firm faith in devotional service. This was heard by all the devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, previously I induced Murari Gupta again and again to be allured by Lord Krishna. I said to him, my dear Gupta, Lord Sri Krishna, Rajendra Kumar, is the supreme sweetness. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, the origin of all incarnations and the source of everything. He is pure, transcendental love itself, and he is the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna is the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. He is like a mine of gems. He is expert at everything, very intelligent and sober, and he is the summit of all transcendental humors. His character is very sweet, and his pastimes are melodious. He is expert in intelligence, and thus he enjoys all his pastimes and mellows. I then requested Murari Gupta, worship Krishna and take shelter of him. But for his service, nothing appeals to the mind. In this way, he heard from me again and again. By my influence, his mind was a little converted. Murari Gupta then replied, I am your servant and your order carrier. I have no independent existence. After this, Murari Gupta went home and spent the whole night thinking how he would have to give up the association of Raghunath, Lord Ramachandra. Thus, he was overwhelmed. Murari Gupta then began to pray at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. He prayed that death would come that night because it was not possible for him to give up the service of the lotus feet of Raghunath. Thus, Murari Gupta cried the entire night. There was no rest for his mind. Therefore, he could not sleep but stayed awake the entire night. In the morning, Murari Gupta came to see me. Catching hold of my feet and crying, he submitted an appeal. Murari Gupta said, "I have sold my head unto the lotus feet of Raghunath. I cannot withdraw my head, for that would give me too much pain. It is not possible for me to give up the service of Raghunath's lotus feet. At the same time, if I do not do so, I shall break your order. What can I do?" In this way, Murari Gupta appealed to me, saying, "You are all merciful, so kindly grant me this mercy. Let me die before you so that all my doubts will be finished. Let me die before you so that all my doubts will be finished." I said to him, "All glories to you, Murari Gupta. Your method of worship is very firmly fixed, so much so that even upon my request, your mind did not turn." 154. The servitor must have love and affection for the lotus feet of the Lord exactly like this. Even if the Lord wants separation, a devotee cannot abandon the shelter of his lotus feet. Purport. The word Prabhu, or master, indicates that the Lord is to be continuously served by his devotee. The original Prabhu is the Lord, Sri Krishna. Nonetheless, there are many devotees attached to Lord Ramachandra, and Murari Gupta is a vivid example of such unalloyed devotion. He never agreed to give up Lord Ramachandra's worship, not even upon Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's request. Such is the chastity of devotional service, as stated in the Antya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. She bhakta danya ye na chade prabhura charan she prabhu danya je na chari nija jana durdhaive sebaka jari jaya anya stane she thakur danya tari chule dhari anya. In a firm relationship with the Lord, the devotee does not give up the Lord's service under any circumstance. As far as the Lord himself is concerned, if the devotee chooses to leave, the Lord brings him back again, dragging him by the hair. Just to test your firm faith in your Lord, I requested you again and again to change your worship from Lord Ramachandra to Krishna. In this way, I congratulated Murari Gupta, saying, "Indeed, you are the incarnation of Hanuman. Consequently, you are the eternal servant of Lord Ramachandra. Why should you give up the worship of Lord Ramachandra and his lotus feet?" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "I accept this Murari Gupta as my life and soul. When I hear of his humility, it perturbs my very life." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Vasudev Datta and began to speak of his glories as if he had 1,000 mouths. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, testing his pure devotee, just to show the standard of pure devotional service. Those who are fixed in their relationship with Krishna cannot be budged for any reason. What to speak of petty material disturbances? Even the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will not move a devotee from his or her particular relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this mention in the Nectar of Instruction, Tanama Rupa Charitari Sukirtananu Smrityo Karamena Rasana Manasin Yoja, Tishtam vraje tanan ragi jananugami, kalam nayed akilamityu padeshasaram. Rupa Goswami says that the essence of all advice is that one should organize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in hearing, chanting, and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, gradually, step by step, one becomes attached to a particular form of the Lord, but especially one becomes attached to the devotees who are serving the Lord in a particular way and begins to aspire for that. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and speaks about how this develops. It happens naturally when one hears continuously from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Bhagavad Gita, all the books that Srila Prabhupada has given us, and engages in service. And then there's a natural way, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, that one step by step progresses towards the thicker faith, and one's particular relationship with the Supreme Lord becomes more and more evident as one continues to do this. Now we're reading from the Madhya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I'm on Chapter 9, Lord Chaitanya's Travels to the Holy Places, and I'm taking up at text 178. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at southern Mathura from Kamakoshti, he met a brahmana. Purport. Southern Mathura, presently known as Madurai, is situated on the banks of the Bhagai River. This place of pilgrimage is specifically meant for the devotees of Lord Shiva. Therefore, it is called Shaiva Kshetra. That is, the place where Lord Shiva is worshipped. In this area, there are mountains and forests. There are also two Shiva temples, one known as Rameshwara and the other known as Sundareshwara. There's also a temple to Devi called the Meenakshi Devi Temple, which displays very great architectural craftsmanship. It was built under the supervision of the kings of the Pandya dynasty, and when the Muslims attacked this temple, as well as the temple of Sundareshwara, great damage was done. In the Christian year 1372, a king named Kampana Udhayara reigned on the throne of Madurai. Long ago, Emperor Kulashekar ruled this area, and during his reign he established a colony of brahmanas. A well-known king named Anantaguna Pandya is an 11th generation descendant of Emperor Kulashekar. The brahmana who met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invited the Lord to his home. This brahmana was a great devotee and an authority on Lord Sri Ramachandra. He was always detached from material activities. After bathing in the river Krutamala, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the brahmana's house to take lunch, but he saw that the food was unprepared because the brahmana had not cooked it. Seeing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear sir, please tell me why you have not cooked. It is already noon." The brahmana replied, "My dear lord, we are living in the forest. For the time being, we cannot get all the ingredients for cooking. When Lakshmana brings all the vegetables, fruits, and roots from the forest, Sita will do the necessary cooking." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied to hear about the brahmana's method of worship. Finally, the brahmana hastily made arrangements for cooking. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his lunch at about 3 o'clock, but the brahmana, being very sorrowful, fasted. While the brahmana was fasting, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "Why are you fasting? Why are you so unhappy? Why are you so worried?" The brahmana replied, "I have no reason to live. I shall give up my life by entering either fire or water. My dear sir, Mother Sita is the mother of the universe and the supreme goddess of fortune. She has been touched by the demon Ravana and I am troubled upon hearing this news. Sir, due to my unhappiness, I cannot continue living. Although my body is burning, my life is not leaving. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, please do not think this way any longer. You are a learned pundit. Why don't you consider the case? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, Sita Devi, the dearmost wife of the Supreme Lord Ramachandra, certainly has a spiritual form full of bliss. No one can see her with material eyes, for no materialist has such power. To say nothing of touching Mother Sita, a person with material senses cannot even see her. When Ravana kidnapped her, he kidnapped only her material, illusory form. As soon as Ravana arrived before Sita, she disappeared. Then, just to cheat Ravana, she sent an illusory material form. Spiritual substance is never within the jurisdiction of the material conception. This is always the verdict of the Vedas and Puranas. Purport. As stated in the Katha Upanishad, spirit is not within the jurisdiction of material eyes, words, or mind. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.84.13 states, Yasyatma buddhi kunapetra datuke sati kalatradi shubhauma idjadi yatirta buddhi salile nakarichich janeshu abhigeshu saeva gokaraha. A human being who identifies his body made of three elements with his self, who considers the byproducts of his body to be his kinsmen, who considers the land of his birth worshipable, and who goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to take a bath, rather than to meet men of transcendental knowledge there, is to be considered like an ass or a cow. These are some Vedic statements about spiritual substance. Spiritual substance cannot be seen by the unintelligent, because they do not have the eyes or the mentality to see the spirit soul. Consequently, they think that there is no such thing as spirit. But the followers of the Vedic injunctions take their information from Vedic statements, such as the verses from the Katha Upanishad and Srimad Bhagavatam quoted above. Text 195. Bishwas karaha tumi amaravachai vachane punarapi kubhavana na karihamane. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assured the Brahmana, have faith in my words and do not burden your mind any longer with this misconception. Purport. This is the process of spiritual understanding. Achintya kalo ye bhava na tams tarkena yojayet. We should not try to understand things beyond our material conception by argument and counter-argument. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. We have to follow in the footsteps of great authorities coming down in the parampara system. If we approach a bona fide acharya and keep faith in his words, spiritual realization will be easy. If we approach a bona fide acharya and keep faith in his words, spiritual realization will be easy. Text 196. Although the Brahmana was fasting, he had faith in the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and accepted food. In this way, his life was saved. After thus assuring the Brahmana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded further into southern India and finally arrived at Durvashana, where he bathed in the river Kritamala. Purport. Presently, the Kritamala River is known as the river Bhagai or Vagai. This river has three tributaries named Surali, Varaharadi, and Batila Gunda. Batila Gundu. The river Kritamala is also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.39 by the great sage Karabhajana. And by the way, that reference, 11.5.39 by Karabhajana, mentioning the Kritamala, is in the context of his Karbhajana Muni speaking about Kali Yuga and what an advantage it is to take birth in Kali Yuga. And partly it's because by Sankirtan, he says, you can attain all perfection and fulfill all of your spiritual desires. And then he goes on to say that many great devotees will take birth in the Kali Yuga, and especially in South India. And he mentions rivers like the Kritamala as the places near which these great devotees will take birth. So if you happen to be associating with devotees that seem extraordinarily wonderful, don't be surprised when you find out that they actually took birth here just to spread Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. That's in the Bhagavatam. 198. At Durvasana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Ramachandra. And on the hill known as Mahendra Shaila, he saw Lord Parushuram. Purport. In Durvasana, or Dharba Shayana, now known as Tirupulani, which is 7 miles east of Ramnad, there is a temple of Lord Ramachandra. The hill known as Mahendra Shaila is near Tirunvali, and at the end of this hill is a city known as Trichur Chendur. West of Mahendra Shaila is the territory of Tribhankura. There is mention of Mahendra Shaila in the Ramayana. Text 199. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Setubandha, Rameshwara, where he took his bath at the place called Danus Tirtha. From there he visited the Rameshwara temple and then took rest. Purport. The path from Mandapam through the ocean to the island known as Pambam consists partly of sand and partly of water. The island of Pambam is about 17 miles long and 6 miles wide. On this island, 4 miles north of Pambam Harbor, is Setubandha, where the temple of Rameshwar is located. This is a temple of Lord Shiva, and the name Rameshwara indicates that he is a great personality whose worshipable deity is Lord Ram. Thus, the Lord Shiva found in the temple of Rameshwara is a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. It is said, Devi Patanam Arabhya Gachebhyu Setubandhanam. After visiting the temple of the goddess Durga, one should go to the temple of Rameshwara. In this area, there are 24 different holy places, one of which is Danus Tirtha, located about 12 miles southeast of Rameshwara. It is near the last station of the South Indian Railway, a station called Ramnad. It is said that here, on the request of Ravana's younger brother, Vibhishana, Lord Ramachandra destroyed the bridge to Lanka with his bow while returning to his capital. It is also said that one who visits Danus Tirtha is liberated from the cycle of birth and death, and that one who bathes there gets all the fruitive results of performing the yajna known as Agnishtoma. Text 200. There, among the Brahmanas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listened to the Kurma Purana, wherein it is mentioned the chaste woman's narration. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks that only two khandas of the Kurma Purana are now available, namely the Purva Khanda and the Uttara Khanda. Sometimes it is said that the Kurma Purana contains 6,000 verses, but according to Srimad Bhagavatam, the original, the Kurma Purana contains 17,000 verses. It is considered the 15th of the 18 Mahapuranas. And just a side note, and that is that these very important scriptures are lost after some time. That's why, actually, the environment of the material world is enervating it. And there's constant destruction going on. In fact, there are various kinds of destructions of the universe, and one of them mentioned in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita is perpetual destruction. We might notice that everything's falling apart here. According to the great pundit Mukunda Datta Prabhu, of ISKCON, who studied the science of preserving scriptures and the history of great scriptures in India. Tens of thousands of original scriptures are lost every year due to decay and improper care and so forth. Over time, these things are lost. So the best preservation is distribution, not only distributing, but also imbibing the knowledge oneself and passing it along. And it's vital for human society to have the vibration that comes from these all-important scriptures. Otherwise, human beings are lost and are consumed by the powerful modes of material nature and simply swept away. So it's important to remember that we cannot take for granted that we have the scriptures that Prabhupada gave us, and we should imbibe them to the very core of our hearts, and we should also distribute them in mass quantity so that people all over the world have the advantage of reading them. Last night at our temple, a new student showed up for the first time, and he had the Bhagavad Gita in his hand, and he had many passages underlined in various places with many questions. And I was appreciating how there are living entities everywhere who are simply starving for this knowledge. And we have these scriptures in abundance. They should be imbibed and distributed. Text 201. Srimati Sita Devi is the mother of the three worlds and the wife of Lord Ramachandra. Among chaste women, she is supreme, and she is the daughter of King Janak. When Ravana came to kidnap Mother Sita, and she saw him, she took shelter of the fire god, Agni. The fire god covered the body of Mother Sita, and in this way, she was protected from the hands of Ravana. Upon hearing from the Kurma Purana how Ravana had kidnapped a false form of Mother Sita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very satisfied. The fire god Agni took away the real Sita and brought her to the place of Parvati, goddess Durga. An illusory form of Mother Sita was then delivered to Ravana, and in this way Ravana was cheated. After Ravana was killed by Lord Ramachandra, Sita Devi was brought before the fire and tested. When the illusory Sita was brought before the fire by Lord Ramachandra, the fire god made the illusory form disappear and delivered the real Sita to Lord Ramachandra. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this story, he was very pleased, and he remembered the words of Ramdas Vipra. Indeed, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these conclusive statements from the Kurma Purana, he felt great happiness. After asking the Brahmana's permission, he took possession of the manuscript leaves of the Kurma Purana. Since the Kurma Purana was very old, the manuscript was also very old. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took possession of the original leaves in order to have direct evidence. The text was copied onto new leaves in order that the Purana be replaced. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then returned to southern Mathura, Madurai, and delivered the original manuscript of the Kurma Purana to Ramdas Vipra. When he was petitioned by Mother Sita, the fire god Agni brought forth an illusory form of Sita and Ravana, who had 10 heads, kidnapped the false Sita. The original Sita then went to the abode of the fire god. When Lord Ramachandra tested the body of Sita, it was the false illusory Sita that entered the fire. At that time, the fire god brought the original Sita from his abode and delivered her to Lord Ramachandra. Purport: these two verses are taken from Kurma Purana. Text 213. Ramdas Vipra was very pleased to receive the original leaf manuscript of the Kurma Purana, and he immediately fell down before the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to cry. After receiving the manuscript, the Brahmana, being very pleased, said, "Sir, you are Lord Ramachandra himself and have come in the dress of a sannyasi to give me audience. My dear sir, You have delivered me from a very unhappy condition. I request that you take your lunch at my place. Please accept this invitation. Due to my mental distress, I could not give you a very nice lunch the other day. Now, by good fortune, you have come again to my home." Saying this, the Brahmana very happily cooked food, and a first-class dinner was offered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed that night in the house of the Brahmana. Then, after showing him mercy, the Lord started toward the Tamraparni River in Pandyadesh. So again, we have multiple lessons from these sections of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. One of them is how much the devotees take shelter of the scripture. In fact, it's a foundational aspect of spiritual life. In the Shastra written by Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he has written, "Shruti Smriti Puranadi Panchatriki Vidimbina Aikantiki Harer Bhaktiru Pattayaiva Kalpate." They need to practice a devotional service that doesn't follow the Shruti, the Smriti, the Panchatriki Vidhi. Simply becomes a disturbance to the society of Vaishnavas. And also Rupa Goswami writes in the same book that one's Shraddha, or faith, means one's faith in scripture. One who understands that scripture is from a divine source, and that by adhering to the scripture, one's life will become perfected, is a faithful person. And so the foundation of one's practice in spiritual life is this adherence to scripture, faith in scripture. And the other lesson, again, we hear how the devotees who have developed spontaneous love for Krishna then enter into a deep emotional relationship with him, feeling separation, as this Brahmana was feeling actual emotional upheaval in his life. This may sound like a disturbance, but actually it's the greatest happiness. Just as materialists are constantly overturned by various emotions due to their interaction with the three modes of material nature, these are all illusory relationships, and they cause great pain deep within the heart. But those who have heard and chanted, associated with pure devotees and served pure devotees, and have developed pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which becomes spontaneous at a particular point in one's practice, have emotions flowing from their heart for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is evidence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meeting such a person who is so utterly attached to Lord Ramachandra that he had entered into his pastimes and was grieving. He could barely cook, and he was literally consumed by this. So this is the higher taste of developing love for Krishna. And now I'm going to read from a section from the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. This is from the volume, part 2, The Glories of Goloka. And we're on chapter number 4. And I hope everyone is settled in and doing all right, because this section is going to change your life forever when you hear this. And it may be a little longer than I anticipated. So hang in there, please. Thank you, Amala Purana. Jai to you. Hare Krishna. That's Utsahan. Okay, chapter 4. I'm taking up at text 189. I'd start from the very beginning, but we'd be here all night. And I don't think you'd mind, but maybe others will. So text 189. According to the way one worships, the Lord awards different results. One who thus reaches the goal he has pursued never feels discontent. Commentary, and just as a brief introduction for those of you who may not know this book intimately, it's written by Srila Sanatan Goswami. It is a seminal book of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and Prabhupada has recommended that we read it. Not only that, it was translated by the inimitable Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, who left us some time ago. This is his picture. And the commentary is Sanatan Goswami's commentary translated by Gopi Puranadana Prabhu from the original Sanskrit. Commentary: the personality of Godhead knows everything there is to know. He is also the most merciful giver of charity. Why then doesn't he give the same supreme happiness to all his devotees? It is because what he gives them depends on their expressed desires. Then aren't the devotees dissatisfied who receive happiness that is relatively less? No. When the Supreme Lord reciprocates the love of any of his pure devotees, the devotee is never left feeling incomplete, because everything the devotee wanted, the Lord provides. 190. The Lord's pastimes expand in unlimited variety. His mind is deeper than millions of oceans. The opulence of his diverse pastimes attracts his devotees to him in so many ways. Who can understand him by speculation? Commentary: but why doesn't the Lord bestow the very best method of worship upon all his devotees? After all, he is Rishikesh, the master of the senses, who inspires all the energies of knowledge and activity. If he wanted to bestow the very best method, he could, but he chooses instead to respond to the individual's taste of each devotee for a particular loving service. This variety of reciprocation with many different devotees is his lila and his special greatness. How can anyone presume to understand why he acts as he does? We can understand only this much. Were he not to expand varieties of pastimes with various devotees, the charm of his variegated enjoyment would not be complete. Text 191. Even amidst such diversity, the Lord's mercy achieves its highest perfection, for despite the hierarchy of greatness and lesser devotees, greater and lesser devotees, none are affected by envy or by any such bad feelings toward others. Each devotee, following his own nature, attains the final limit of happiness in the service that suits his own taste. Commentary: that the Supreme Lord does not behave the same with every devotee does not invalidate the glory of his boundless compassion. Rather, his discriminating dealings with his servants enhance his reputation, because every devotee relishes the highest possible happiness. By the nature of devotional service, none of the Lord's servants ever become dissatisfied. On the heavenly planets and elsewhere in the material world, inequality always leads to conflict and envy, but not so in the dealings between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Rivalry, jealousy, and other undesirable emotions never interfere with their happiness. Devotees on the path of pure devotional service are protected from these inauspicious influences, including false pride and malice toward others. Vaishnavas are naturally friendly to one another. Free from envy, they can peacefully pursue their real self-interest. 192. Because the Lord's pure devotees are absorbed in their true identity of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, they do not accept inferior happiness as great, nor do they get involved with the petty pleasures of materialists or of sannyasis with impersonalist views. Commentary: ordinary people may by ignorance consider meager pleasure to be great, but Vaishnavas are not fooled. Because materialists entrapped in the cycle of birth and death are motivated by urges for sense gratification, such materialists consider the stimulation of sensory contact to be real happiness. Similarly, impersonalist renunciates, cultivating knowledge of their spiritual identity, hope to find real happiness and liberation. In most cases, however, the impersonalist sannyasis do not reach even the petty happiness for which they aspire. The cause of frustration for both the materialist and the impersonalist is their failure to realize their own true nature as spirit souls. A person who actually realizes himself as pure spirit can never consider material happiness complete. Nor can he be enticed by trivial sense gratification, nor by the meager happiness of impersonal liberation, because he is immersed in the most intense ecstasy. Text 193. How is everybody? Everyone okay out there? Keep going?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. All right, thank you, Bhaktin Poonam. Amala Purana. Sunit, thank you. Doing okay, good to hear it. Even the greatest material sense enjoyment, that can last for. Yuga Dharma, great. Divya Devi, Prabhash. Okay. The camera got ecstatic and fell off. We're continuing. The hierarchy among devotees is only imagined according to their own forms of service and according to the happiness each devotee derives from his own relationship with the Lord. Commentary: every pure Vaishnava obtains results suitable to his own devotional attitude. What then is the basis for a hierarchy of greater and lesser devotees? In truth, no such hierarchy exists. It is only imagined as a device. Speaking of devices, I'm just having slight technical difficulty. Please stand by. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Ah. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hey. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Each devotional relationship or rasa and its corresponding varieties of pleasure may for convenience be measured in terms of relative degrees of perfection. In the nine methods of devotional practice, such as hearing and chanting, and in the various services devotees render to the Lord in Vaikuntha and elsewhere, attending the Lord in person, massaging his feet, dressing his hair, serving him as a doorkeeper, each devotee relishes the highest possible happiness from his own service to his own worshipable Lord. By presuming a hierarchy of these services, one may also devise a hierarchy of happiness and may accordingly rank devotees. But even if, as some persons hold, such a hierarchy is factual, no pure Vaishnava thinks himself deprived of anything. All the Lord's devotees feel completely satisfied and happy. Text 194. Some of these residents of Vaikuntha are eternal associates of Lord Krishna, and others have come here by his mercy, having gained the privilege to enter. Commentary. Because the servants of the Supreme Lord are by constitution as purely spiritual as he, one may doubt that there can be any difference between the devotees and the Lord, any distinction between the servant and the served. Text 194 through 199 resolve this doubt. Some residents of Vaikuntha have always been there, like Anantashesha and Garuda. Others, like Bharata, Priyavrata, and Jai and Vijay, have come to Vaikuntha from the material world and have become associates of the Lord relatively recently, having gained entrance into Vaikuntha after successfully practicing devotional service. 195. Although everyone equally enjoys the bliss of worshiping the Lord, certain differences are conceived. Devotees are considered relative outsiders or insiders, depending, for example, on whether they serve the Lord from afar or from nearby. Commentary. In the opinion of some Vaishnavas, different qualities of devotional service earn their performers different degrees of perfection. Otherwise, in Vaikuntha, there would be no meaningful distinction between the Lord's eternal servants and the newly liberated devotees. In this verse, Narada agrees that although all devotees enjoy the ecstasy of worshiping Lord Narayan, there are minor differences in what various devotees achieve in Vaikuntha. Some devotees seem to have more intimate relationships with Lord Narayan than do others. And when the Lord descends to the earth and other material planets, select devotees are privileged to accompany him. The truth is that there are no real differences in devotional achievement, only different individual services. If some Vaishnavas insist on the idea of different degrees of perfection, that idea may be granted, but the differences are insignificant. Text 196. Through all these devotees are equal. Though all these devotees are equal to the Supreme Lord in being eternal, there is still a natural distinction between the servant and the served. This distinction is eternal and real. Commentary. Sadhana Siddha devotees who have come to Vaikuntha after liberation from the material world are obviously inferior to the infallible Supreme Lord. No one should doubt that they are subordinate to him. But why should the Lord's eternal associates like Sri Shesha and Garuda be considered subordinates? To remove this doubt, we need to understand that just as the sameness of the Lord and the Jivas is eternal, so also is the difference between them. The Supreme Lord is always the served, and the Jivas, no matter who they are always his servants. This is a basic fact, and no logical maneuvers will ever be able to refute it. Text 197 through 198. These devotees are equal to the Lord in both embodiments of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, just like him. Yet Sri Krishna has a certain inconceivable mystic potency that attracts these devotees to the sweet ecstasy of worshiping him and makes them always think that they are servants at his lotus feet. Commentary. Sri Krishna's devotees are helplessly attracted to him like iron filings naturally drawn to a magnet. The eternal associates of the Lord have never known any other way of life, and the new residents of Vaikuntha, perhaps for several lifetimes, practiced being attracted to him before they were allowed to enter the spiritual world. The attractive force of devotional service to Krishna is inconceivable. It works in its own way, without having to be understood or even noticed. Yet somehow it immerses pure devotees in the boundless ocean of Krishna's sweetness and draws them irresistibly to his service. Only in this way is the distinction of served and servant maintained forever. 199. And so it is with his incarnations. They are also non-different from Sri Krishna Dev, for they are complete embodiments of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. But although Krishna is considered non-different from his plenary expansions, he is also distinct from them, and not only because he is their source, but also because he has his own sweet perfections. Commentary. Sri Krishna, the Lord of Goloka, is acclaimed in the Puranas and other Vedic scriptures for being especially sweet. The sweetness found in him is not fully present in Lord Narayan or any of his other expansions. Of course, Krishna is different from his avatars because he is their source, yet he is still further different as the supreme all-attractive object of love. As implied here by the word upi, It is only natural that Krishna be the original personality of Godhead and that all other forms of God emanate from him. But Krishna is special not only as the avatari, but also as an avatar. He alone is the source of all incarnations of God. And only he displays such wonderful, charming pastimes when he descends to the material world. The Puranas give evidence of those pastimes, recounting many of Sri Krishna's unequaled exploits. The jivas allowed to associate with Lord Krishna in his abode are surely aware that he, being the supreme controller of all existence, is much greater than they. What most impresses Krishna's devotees, however, is his infinitely variegated sweetness. By seeing his beauty and other glories, they are constantly assured that he is different from everyone else. Only by this deep appreciation of Krishna's supremacy can his most fortunate devotees sustain their exalted love for him and share intimate exchanges with him in this ecstatic taste of transcendental rasa. 200. Some persons say that Lord Krishna is the exclusive embodiment of perfect eternity, knowledge, and bliss. He is, after all, the Supreme Brahman, but his associates are all liberated souls who are also embodiments of Brahman. Commentary. Some may propose that only Krishna is absolute because he is the Supreme Brahman. Strictly speaking, this is true, but the absolute person Krishna also includes all his energies. So his pure devotees should certainly be recognized to be on the same absolute platform of spiritual perfection. The Lord's servants, including Anantasheshi, Garuda, and others in Vaikuntha, are Rama Maya, one with him in quality. Jnanis and yogis may become mukta, elevated to impersonal oneness with the Supreme, but the devotees of Narayan are vimukta, super-liberated, because they participate in the personal oneness of bhakti. Hare Krishna. 201. This equality is created by a special potency of the Lord, a playful aspect of his pure spiritual self. As Krishna assumes various forms for his pastimes, she creates varieties of ecstasy in devotional service. Commentary. How do the Lord's devotees share his supremacy? By the power of bhakti. Bhakti, the worship of the Supreme Person with love, gives a special ecstatic mellow taste. And by the influence of bhakti, the personality of God displays special forms for particular pastimes. Still, persons who regard Krishna as the Supreme Brahman and yet are unclear about the position of his associates may have a question. Since the devotees who join the Lord's pastimes have already attained liberation, oneness with Brahman, why should such devotees descend again into duality by assuming different bodies for those pastimes? The answer has already been given. By even asking such a question, one acknowledges the distinction between served and servant. Still, one might counter that since the liberated impersonalists and the devotees of the personality of Godhead are both in the same liberated condition, that of Sat-Chit-Ananda, nothing less and nothing more, the devotees of the personality of Godhead must enjoy no more happiness than liberated impersonalists. But this has also been previously answered. As the most confidential Vedic scriptures told Gopakumar on Brahmaloka, quote, the happiness that arises from directly perceiving the true identity of the jiva soul, the entity composed of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, is actually very meager. The happiness of mere self-realization is limited, unlike the unimaginable happiness found in true liberation, in which one realizes one's loving relationship with the Supreme. Thus, everything Narada has said stands unrefuted. Sri Narada Muni Ki Jai. Sri Gopakumar said, I then asked, my Lord, speaking to Narada, divine deity forms of the Supreme Godhead like Lord Purushottam, the master of Niladri, are present on earth, and you consider them embodiments of eternity and knowledge and bliss. Commentary. Gopakumar is very much attracted to Archana, the devotional process of deity worship. He has enjoyed the benefits of Archana in Jagannath Puri and on several higher planets in the universe. He has also heard about the glories of this process from various authoritative scriptures. Narada, however, has created a doubt in Gopakumar by telling him that the deities of the Supreme Lord are just another kind of incarnation, indistinguishable from other avatars. Earlier in this chapter, Narada said, quote, "There are those who playfully assume the appearance of deities. Each of these forms of the Lord has its own activities and names, yet all of them are full in eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Though manifesting variety, in substance they are eternally one and the same." Absolutely amazing how Srila Prabhupada brought from the manifestation of his own devotion deities all over the world. And every continent of the world where Prabhupada went, Krishna appeared in his archa form. And now that worship is going on. One may shudder to think what the condition of the world would be without that the presence of these deities everywhere. And it's another aspect of devotional service that one might easily take for granted and think, oh, they're just temples. They're just ISKCON temples. But actually, these are very sacred places of pilgrimage. Don't mind the camera moving around. My tripod is failing me, so I'm taping it up as we speak. But the katha will go on, regardless of the equipment failure here. Hare Krishna. Text number 203. The one personality of Godhead, whose body is always Sat-Chit Ananda, mercifully enacts the pastime of being present in various places in various forms. Commentary, to increase his own pleasure and show kindness to his devotees and to the whole world, Lord Krishna appears in Puri and other places as deities like Lord Jagannath. His deity forms appear not only on earth, but also on other planets of Bhur Loka and in the higher and lower planetary systems. 204. What then could be wrong with worshipping these forms, disregarding everything else? I would think that no matter how this was done, it would bring great benefit. Commentary, why should the Lord's devotee be criticized for neglecting other spiritual disciplines, dharma, karma, yoga, and so on, to worship the Lord's archa vigraha? It seems logical that he should gain greatly by such dedication, since all the other devotional practices are included in the worship of the deity. Text 205. But why, therefore, do we hear differing opinions about this from the Puranas? The Puranic statements, coming as they do from the mouths of exalted souls, cannot be less than authoritative. Commentary, Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas make comments that apparently deprecate the value of deity worship. For example, quote, a devotee who faithfully engages in worship in the deity in the temple but does not behave properly toward other devotees or people in general is called a Prakriti Bhakta, a materialistic devotee, and is considered to be in the lowest position. One who worships the deity of Godhead in the temples but does not know that the Supreme Lord as Paramatma is situated in every living entity's heart must be in ignorance and is compared to one who offers oblations unto ashes. That's from Bhagavatam 3:29-22. And another quote, my dear mother, even if a person worships me with proper rituals and paraphernalia, if he is ignorant of my presence in all living entities, he never pleases me by the worship of my deities in the temple. These and other statements of Shastra, such as Pratima Manda Budhinam, the deity is meant for persons who are less intelligent, come from the mouths of great sages, and the verses cited above are the Supreme Lord's own words, retold from the mouth of Sri Shukadev. As a matter of principle, the words of trustworthy authorities, such as the Lord and his pure devotees, should be accepted as true. Therefore, Gopakumara is puzzled. Any knowledgeable person would surely agree that the deity forms of the Lord, like Sri Shankarshan and others that appear on the various varshas of Burloka, including the deities of Sri Raghunath and Jagannath, in their transcendental cities on earth, are directly the personality of Godhead and should be worshipped with faith. But the words pratima, image, and archa, worship deity, are often used in scripture to criticize the narrow vision of immature devotees. And these special incarnations of the Supreme Lord, Sankarshan, Raghunath, and Jagannath, Ranganath and Jagannath, also present themselves as pratima and archa. Does this mean that they are inferior forms? Gopakumara hopes that Narada will clear up this doubt.
Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Hey! Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.